Well, we want to come back to Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal, and you know, it was really an interesting time in America. Today, a lot of people that don't like Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal and deficit spending call it the Raw Deal, because what does it do? In some ways, it sets up the entitlement programs. Good example, like Social Security, that Americans continue to pay into today. If you like Franklin Roosevelt, you would understand that in his own way that he saved democracy in America. There are a lot of people like the great radio host Walter Lippmann, who actually wrote Franklin Roosevelt early on in his first administration and basically told him in a letter it would be okay if he decided that it was important to take on some dictatorial powers, to become a dictator in some areas of American life, because people would understand. Now, that ought to give you a sense of how bad it was for a noted person in American culture to write the president and say it's okay if you take on the powers of a dictator. People will understand. Thankfully, Franklin Roosevelt does not do that, and the New Deal, his programs will be seen as a middle way. You know, it was just enough to stabilize the country. Make no mistake about it, the New Deal does not get us out of the Depression, but, you know, it puts people back to work, even though unemployment fluctuates between 1932 and 1936 and 37, but it does begin to rebuild the country. So in this lecture, we want to talk about some things that help to rebuild the country. I want you to really understand that Franklin Roosevelt's time in office, in a lot of ways, gave the average American hope. You know, a lot of people saw Franklin Roosevelt struggling with his physical ailment, and the thought that people had was, hey, if he can do it, I can do it. And this was a great way that he gave people hope. Again, his fireside chats, his radio programs were amazing. He didn't say things to people on the radio like, my fellow Americans. You know, he said things like, my friends. You know, he made it seem like that, you know, he was in it with them, that he wasn't living high on the hog in Washington, D.C. He was with the farmers struggling with the crop. He was with the farmers struggling in the Texas panhandle in a period of drought called the Dust Bowl. He was with women trying to feed their families. I mean, a lot of people liked Franklin Roosevelt. I asked my grandfather, who grew up in Greensboro and then lived in different places, Valdez, Shelby, Lenore, Hickory, and I asked him, I said, you know, how did people in this area feel about Franklin Roosevelt? And he said, everybody loved Franklin Roosevelt. Now, we know that's not true, but you get a sense in my grandfather's comment about how much people appreciated him and appreciated the fact that he was trying to do a couple things. Over time, the New Deal will be attacked by the Supreme Court. And two of Roosevelt's babies, his alphabet programs, the Agricultural Adjustment Act and the NIRA, the National Industrial Recovery Act, both of these programs will be declared unconstitutional by the Supreme Court. You know, Roosevelt did not appreciate that some of his programs were being declared unconstitutional, and he set out to remedy that situation. And in 1937... you will want to know this, he developed a plan to reorganize the Supreme Court by adding some new justices, as many as 16 new Supreme Court justices. And remember, the Supreme Court at this time was just composed of 9 peoples who happened to be men. The nickname for them was the 9 Old Men. 4 of those 9 Old Men were very, very conservative justices that blocked a lot of New Deal legislation. Privately, Roosevelt called those 4 very conservative justices the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse from the book of Revelation. You know, these were guys that just were, you know, Roosevelt felt like these were guys just there to block him, and he took it very personally. So, you know, here is a plan to reorganize the Supreme Court by adding new justices. If a justice reached the age of 70 and a half, in Roosevelt's proposal, a new justice could be added. Even some of his advisors said, you know, you don't really have to do this. But, you know, what is Roosevelt looking for? He's looking for a court that is a little bit more familiar and a little more friendly to the New Deal. His critics, in light of this, called the Supreme Court Reorganization Bill the Supreme Court Packing Plan. The Reorganization Bill fails, but over time, justices did retire, and as president, Roosevelt was able to appoint some justices a little more sympathetic to the goals of the New Deal. And, you know, thus, it kind of begins a phrase that you might have heard, a switch in time saves nine. Well, back to some of these alphabet programs. FDIC, established banking security and banking insurance. Social Security, established old age and retirement pension. You had the National Industrial Recovery Act, which, you know, basically is going to help people get a job by establishing work codes. Again, it was later declared unconstitutional. And then you have the most popular New Deal program in North Carolina, which was the CCC, the Civilian Conservation Corps. And this put young, single men, whether black or white, into camps to do things like forestry and truck driving and fire watching. And there were segregated CCC camps, but they did a lot of national park work. They did a lot of camp building campsites and trails. A good example are some of the historical trails at the Gettysburg National Battlefield Military Park in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. The Civilian Conservation Corps will build the many of the historical trails there. All right. Near Mortimer, North Carolina, there was a CCC camp, and of course, much of it was destroyed in the great 1940 flood that North Carolina witnessed. Well, another thing that occurred separate to the Great Depression was something called the Dust Bowl. The Dust Bowl starts about 1929, and it also lasts till about 1940-41. So it parallels the Great Depression, but this was just about 11-year period of drought out in the West. Most people, you know, as it was said during this time, they grabbed a root and they growled. In other words, they stayed. But what you're witnessing here during this time are some Dust Bowl farmers picking up and moving west to California. These folks loaded up everything they had on their car, on their truck, whatever they possessed, and you know, they went west. Their nicknames were the Okies, and they're so poignantly described as the Jode family in John Steinbeck's great novel, The Grapes of Wrath. But there were many novels about the Okies, okay? You know, what did we learn during the Great Depression as far as farming goes and so forth? The government came alongside the people during this time and basically taught the farmers how to plow their fields better, how to build appropriate berms so that topsoil doesn't blow away, how to better irrigate their fields. And what we understood scientifically from looking at the Dust Bowl was that about every 20, 25 years in America and in the West, there's a major drought. And generally that has proven to be true. You know, there were some critics of the New Deal. You know, there were some people who said, man, this relief stuff is just not happening fast enough. And I wanted to deal with three critics of the New Deal right fast and tell you a little bit about them. Dr. Francis Townsend was from California. He was a doctor. And one of the things, one of the ideas that he comes up with is to give a pension, a payment to the elderly. I think it was $200 a month. The catch is the elderly people have to spend it. And what is a bunch of people spending $200 a month supposedly going to help with? Stimulating the economy. Now, who knows? Maybe Dr. Francis Townsend's idea of giving a pension to the elderly helped to formulate the eventual Social Security system. But, you know, there's no question that some of this stuff ran together. Father Charles Coughlin was like the best radio host of the day. People are going to turn into his show. Father Charles Coughlin was a Catholic priest, but he was also a socialist. He was also an anti-Semite who felt like everything that was wrong with America and money had to deal and came from people of Jewish background and Jewish faith. Because of his outstanding comments against Judaism, he will be made to sign an edict by the Catholic Church banning him from speaking about these things on the radio, and that was a ban that was kept until his death. But Father Charles Coughlin, very concerned about combating the Depression. The biggest critic of the New Deal, and especially of Franklin Roosevelt, is a guy by the name of Huey Long. Huey Long had a nickname, and his nickname was the Kingfish. And he was basically the governor and senator from Louisiana. And basically, he had in 1935, he had a big plan. And his plan was that he was going to run in the 1936 election against Roosevelt. And he had something called the Share Our Wealth Clubs all over the country. Huey Long wanted to take monies from the federal government, and he wanted to give every family in America a radio, a car, a home, money towards education, and something like a $5,000 salary per year. You know, of course, this appealed to a lot of people who didn't have a lot of money. Conversely, it scared the crap out of, you know, the rich elite. But for a lot of people, this seemed, you know, too much too fast. And Huey Long, unfortunately, is assassinated in 1935. Roosevelt privately called him the most dangerous man in America in 1935. But those are some of the critics of the New Deal. Father Charles Coughlin, Dr. Francis Townsend, and the Kingfish, the commander of Louisiana by way of the governorship and then senator, who wanted to make every man a king. And he had a little song that he even wrote, and it went something like, "Every man a king, every man a king, yes, you can be a millionaire," and that's all I'll do, but that's the idea, okay? But of course, it fizzled out upon the Kingfisher's assassination. The 1930s was an amazing time in America. You have Artistry by Grant Wood, American Gothic. You have one of the greatest African-American novels of all time, Richard Wright's Native Son. And that's another aspect of the New Deal. You know, it put artists and writers to work. You know, if you were out of a job, the New Deal paid you to do things. Dorothea Lange take some of the greatest pictures in American history, watching migrants move from, you know, the Midwest to the West. You have John Steinbeck, of course, with The Grapes of Wrath. In 1932, the Empire State Building is completed, and the Art Deco style on the inside of the Empire State Building is a great example of the architecture in the 1930s. In 1938, you have the Wagner Act. The Wagner Act will, you know, recognize unions. So this is a major change in American labor history. Okay, during the Great Depression, you have the first female cabinet member. I mentioned her earlier, Frances Perkins. You'll have Franklin Roosevelt establishing a black cabinet. Okay, a group of African-American advisors to the government. You have wonderful movies, like in 1937, Disney will come out with Snow White. In 1939, you'll have Margaret Mitchell's novel turned into a movie, Gone with the Wind. Also in 1939, you have that great movie that used Technicolor for the first time, and that, of course, is The Wizard of Oz. Well, and there's another thing I want to mention about entertainment, and that is the day before Halloween, 1938, you have Orson Welles of CBS Radio putting together H.G. Wells' novel into two segments called The War of the Worlds. That was an amazing show that we'll talk about in class. By 1937, it looks like that the government has done all it can do to help with the combating of the Depression. Also, World War II is looming on the horizon, as you have had Germany and Italy begin to expand into certain areas of the world, and they will continue to as well. But by 1937, Franklin Roosevelt makes a critical decision, and that is to take the country off of the New Deal, and he will reduce some New Deal programs. What immediately happens is a major economic recession. And so it proved again that the New Deal wouldn't completely work to get us out of the Great Depression. And only World War II and the defense spending and the amount of production during World War II will get us out of the Depression. And that'll be a story for our next set of lectures. Have a great day, guys. See ya.